through 21. Luke 4, 14 through 21. I've had this on my mind since we talked about Sunday night, the essential church. Why is it essential? Why is it essential? Let's read here a few verses. Luke 14 and 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Chapter 4 of the book of Luke is an introduction to the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, and telling us about the very beginning of his earthly ministry. Starts off there in verse number 1, chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus, the Son of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And then when the enemy comes to tempt him in the wilderness, he is able to fight the enemy with the word. It is written. He used the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, against the enemy. And then it says in the text that we read here to you tonight that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. So we can see the essential work of the Spirit in the ministry of Jesus, and the essential work of the Spirit that is to be carried on in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned this Sunday night, but I don't know if you've given any thought to this or not, but have you thought about living in a world where there was no church? Living in a world where the church was just not there. And thankfully, in America, we have had the freedoms we've had to worship according to the dictates of our conscience. And we have freedom, and it's a sacred freedom that we have here in America to worship the Lord and to be a part of the church. But what if the church didn't exist anymore? What if the church was gone? Well, this would be a very different place in our country today if there was no church. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7, it says, "The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That verse is talking about a spirit, a mysterious spirit of iniquity that's already prevalent in the world. And the only thing that keeps that spirit of iniquity from just completely taking over in our world is the restraining force of the church. The restraining force of the church. The church is essential in our world today. It holds back the spirit of iniquity, that Antichrist spirit that wants to just completely destroy everything that is good, godly, righteous, to completely take it away. We don't really comprehend or even understand how precious and wonderful that the church is here in America, because we're so used to it. It's such a common thing. Just about anywhere you go, you will see churches on every corner. It's a common thing. You can turn on the radio and hear church services, gospel songs, preaching. Same thing with TV broadcasting. It's available. It's there. And pretty much anywhere you look, there is this influence of the church in America. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. And we can't really even relate to a place where the church isn't there. I guess the closest you could get to is if you went to some countries like China or North Korea, to where the church is so suppressed and so persecuted that the church, you know, it can't really be like it is here in America. You know, everywhere present, the influence of the church. But even in those kind of situations, the church being greatly restricted and persecuted, the church still grows. It still thrives. It still is there. Even in North Korea, where you can't hardly find out anything that's going on in that nation of North Korea, but yet there's still a lot of information about believers, underground churches, and underground believers. Even though they're greatly persecuted, it's illegal for them to meet together, but yet they exist. They estimate between 300,000 and 500,000 believers in a place like North Korea. Incredible, isn't it? That the church just can grow in the most impossible situations. My, we should treasure it. It's already been said here tonight, the impact of it, the influence of the church. And we don't even know for sure the great power. I'm sure that David Green's parents and their humble little ministry would have never have believed that they could have influenced their son to the point that he would give millions and millions of dollars to ministries promoting the gospel and promoting the word of God. They could have never have dreamed it. But God takes your effort, your faithfulness, and the ministry of the church to do much greater things than we could ever, ever imagine. Praise God. Amen. And so if there was no church, and it was not even legal for there to be a church, yet the church would somehow be able to survive. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The church is really the agency of giving and love and compassion and mercy. Most of the things that are done worldwide, I know there are relief agencies and the government does things around the world, but the fact remains the biggest provision of things like feeding programs to the poor comes out of churches around the world, not so much from governments. 25% of clinics and hospitals worldwide were built by churches. The majority of orphanages and even schools have been provided by churches around the world. Right here in America, there's a strong and powerful pro-life movement. It's almost exclusively financed by the church, by churches and believers. You remove the church and you have nothing but darkness and hopelessness. And so, if anything, if we've learned anything over these last 3 months, we should have learned, oh, the church is so precious. The church is so wonderful and so valuable. And that without it, there's just a darkness that seems to overcome us. I've heard about people who are, and they're talking about even people who are secluded now for a longer period of time, and how that depression is setting in and discouragement is setting in, and how that I read where in Northern California that there have been just an unbelievable numbers of suicides in the northern part of the state of California. That's been pretty much across the country, because when you're secluded and shut in, then that's likely to happen to you. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ was created by Jesus himself to be an influencing force in the world. There's a lot of good things that come from the church. Thank God for, you know, Bible teaching, Sunday school, children's ministry. Thank God that we can meet together on a regular basis and worship the Lord and sing and hear from God's word. All those things are wonderful, but Christ is known in the world through the agency of the church. That's how the world knows who he is. That's our primary calling and purpose, is to be an influencing force in our world. So the church, the church is essential to the promoting of the gospel around the world. It's the only hope of the world to hear the gospel through the force, the generosity, the giving, and the prayers, and the influence of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You know, Jesus, there was a song, I don't know that I ever sang it, but I've heard it sung. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. So that was what Jesus did in his earthly ministry. We read here in Luke 4 about the beginning of it. He did it in the power of the Spirit of God. He came out of that wilderness experience in the power of the Spirit. And then he quoted from Isaiah where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And then he said, "That scripture is being fulfilled in your ears right now." Because he stood up in the temple and read from Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He said, "All that's being fulfilled right now, because my earthly ministry is by the Spirit to do good in the world." Praise God. To do good things in the world. And then he invested those 3 years in 12 disciples, and they went about doing good everywhere that they went. And then he ascended into heaven, and he told all those disciples, "Go to Jerusalem and wait there until you're endued with power. You receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And from there, then you're going to be able to make an impact upon the world." That's the church. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And was going to be the means whereby we were going to have the power to touch the world. And we've been called to do that. To touch the world. I knew he couldn't have the missions conference, it was going over in my mind, "Lord, that's such an important time. There's so much good that's done. So many missionaries that are encouraged. So many people that are blessed and financially blessed." And I just hated to see that. I hated to see it come and go without doing something about it. Doing something. And so through your willingness and generosity and giving, we were able to give all of our missionaries extra offerings in the month of April, extra offerings in the month of May, to the tune of $4,700 extra. That was beyond what we normally give. That was that we were able to give to all. And you never know what they're going to face. You don't know that missionaries like the Innises are going to face what they're facing. But then we hear about this circumstance, and that's pretty much the way it is. If you think that you're struggling in America, then their situation is probably several times as difficult. So I knew that the Lord wanted us to do more, if we possibly could do more, because that's why we're here. That's why we exist. To influence, to impact the world. So when they question, is the church essential? You remove it, and they would find out how horrible of a place this would be to live if there was no church, if there were no believers, if there was no gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a horrible place that this world would be if it were not for the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew 28 and 19, go ye therefore, teach all nations. This, of course, is the Great Commission. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He was giving that commission to the church. And it continues to be our commission. It continues to be what God wants the church to be involved in. The nations of the world, reaching them with the message of the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and the assurance that he's going to be with us. And he is with us. He's commanded us to fulfill this commission. He said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to ascend back to heaven, but my spirit is going to be left with you. My physical body is going to be gone, but then you will become my body. You'll become my body everywhere you go, all over the world. You'll spread out and you'll become my body, inspired and filled with the Holy Ghost, touching the world for Jesus. Amen. Really, this is what gives us our credibility. It's not nice building. It's not talent. It's not all these things that seem to be important. The thing that gives us our credibility is the power of the Spirit at work in our lives. That's what gives us credibility in the world. That's what's convincing to the world. Not religion or religious activities. You know, the world is weary with that. The world wants to see the real Jesus alive in you and in me, touching the lives of people. So the church is really the only agency of hope that the world has. That's how important that the church is. That's how important the church is, that the world has no hope unless they receive it through the avenue of the ministry of the church. The church absolutely is essential. And now, more than ever in these times, such as we're living in right now, we need the ministry of the church. It's the agency of hope. It's the agency of the supernatural or the miraculous. People need help from God. They need deliverance. They need healing. They need miracles, the miraculous in their life. That should be happening through the ministry of the church. The church, without the power of the Spirit, is really just a pitiful thing, really. It's just like any other group or club or organization if we have no power of the Spirit. But if there is God's power at work, if prayers are being answered, if the miraculous is happening among us, that sets us apart. That sets us apart from all other groups. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything Jesus did, he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. He dealt with the enemy who was tempting him through the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And then he came forth out and was led out, came forth victorious out of that temptation by the power of the Spirit of God. That's how we are going to be able to be the essential church in these last days, only through the power of the Spirit of God. John 14 and 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now, if that wasn't enough, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? You just read the Gospels. Read about all the wonderful miracles and things that Jesus did. And he said, you're going to do just what I did. That's pretty amazing. But then he takes it a step further. The works that I do, he shall do also. and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. What was he talking about? He was talking about the fact that he was going to send into heaven, but he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost into this world, and thus you are going to be empowered of the Holy Ghost, and the church is going to be able to spread out all over the world. Amen. And wherever the church was, it was going to be the agency for good, the agency of salvation, and the agency of the miraculous. Wherever they were, it doesn't make any difference. Amen. Amen. It doesn't make any difference where. South America, Central America, makes no difference. Western Europe or Eastern Europe or Russia or China or all throughout the Middle East, all those Muslim countries. It doesn't make any difference. The church in those locations filled with the Spirit is the hope of that community, the hope of that country. Praise God. That's why the church is essential in America today. Absolutely. And the church is essential in every community and in every country of the world. Praise God. Amen. That's what missions is all about. To make sure that there is a witness for Christ in every city of the world. Amen. No matter how opposed that they are to Christianity, that is our calling. Amen. Greater things shall you do. Jesus' ministry was pretty much just in that particular region that he was in. But he said, you're going to do greater things. I believe he was talking about the expansion, the growth, and the spreading of the gospel all around the world. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you hear it in the news media and they say something about, well, is the church essential? That ought to perk you up. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. It's essential. Absolutely. And we need the church to be thriving and advancing and filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Lord, we do thank you for the influence of the church. Lord, so many of us, we grew up in the house of God. And it completely affected our lives for time and eternity. Thank you, Lord, for the influence of the church since we were young, since we were children. Oh, Lord, how blessed we are all these many years. And Lord, I know that people that have taken it seriously, who have been faithful and committed their lives to the work and the ministry of the church, they did it because they believed it was important. They believed that it could have an impact. They believed that the influence of the church was mighty and powerful. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. I just pray, Lord, that every time we gather together, we will realize how precious it is, how wonderful it is, how blessed we are to be able to come together and worship you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.